This morning, I want us to talk about and what's been kind of what's been coming through and what I have been feeling, all the prophetic words, all the sort of the ministry this morning has been coming through, and there's a thread that's running through, and it lines up with what I feel like God gave me to share this morning. So I want to start out with John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, but Jesus was not yet glorified. So today, on our Christian calendar or the church calendar, today is it's called Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday happens like 50 days after Easter Sunday, and it's traditionally the day that the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples in the upper room. And it's a fulfillment of prophetic promises that Jesus made to his disciples. So interesting that Joy had asked me last week, and it didn't work out then this week, about sharing a testimony about God fulfilling prophetic promises. Much of our lives we can live and walk out the fulfillment of prophetic promises. And Margaret and I are living in the fulfillment of prophetic promises. And we keep seeing God do it over and over again. And we keep seeing God, when you think it's not going to happen, it happens. Just when you least expect it, God shows up and does something that you weren't expecting. And so this morning, I want to encourage us into maybe receiving or reviving some prophetic promises that God has made, not just over our lives as individuals, but over our lives as believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit came on that fateful day in the upper room. Jesus had told his disciples, he said, go and wait for the promise to be fulfilled. It says in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then if you skip to Acts chapter 2, this is the day, this is the original Pentecost that happened after 7 weeks after Easter. It says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you imagine the scene? Could you imagine this room right now if we were all just waiting on the Holy Spirit to come and suddenly, like last week, remember last week when Dan was preaching and there were geese on the roof? And it was like, wait a minute, are those geese on the roof or is the Holy Spirit coming? But could you imagine if all of a sudden the room began to shake? Like in the Wizard of Oz, the house began to shake. Could you imagine if the room began to shake here and now? And there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind running through this place. And like Lucas told me this morning, he felt the presence of God so strong he had like goose flesh or goosebumps. Could you imagine that this morning? Can you put yourself in that upper room? Can we move to the place where like we're used to this, right? We're all used to this. So we come together and we begin to worship and we feel the presence of God and we have a great time of praising God and worshiping God, and we're kind of used to it, so we sort of become familiar with the presence of God in a way that we almost are too familiar. There's an adage, it's kind of comes from the Bible, but it says familiarity breeds contempt. That means when we get too used to things, we stop appreciating them. Now, can you imagine this morning the Holy Spirit moving in such a way that it completely and totally changed our agenda? And here are the disciples, and they're gathered in the upper room and just waiting because Jesus said, now it's been 7 weeks. Since Easter, and Jesus has come and he's ascended now, and they're just kind of waiting because Jesus said to wait. Who likes waiting? No hands. Oh, Dodo likes to wait. The rest of us don't like to wait. We want it here and now. I found myself recently, I'll be on my iPad or my phone and some of my bank accounts, I can't get into them unless I use what's called a VPN, which is a virtual private network. Thank you, Gordon. So it's a virtual private network. So what the virtual private network does is to get into some of my bank accounts that are based in the United States, I have to be in the United States. So piracy and whatever you call it, hackers and coming from other parts of the world, they actually will just block your site if you're not, they'll block their site if you're not in the States. So I have to pay for this service where it makes it look like I'm in the United States. So I log into that site in the States and then it logs into that site from there. So it looks like I'm in the States when I'm not. So what it does sometimes, I'll forget I have that on and my computer slows down or my iPad slows down just a hair. Doesn't slow down a lot, it's just a little bit. And I find myself thinking, man, this thing's moving slow, and again, I get frustrated. And then I remember the old days when I didn't have an iPad. When my form of preparing for a preach meant I had to go get a big thick book called a concordance, and I'd have to look for the verses. And I couldn't just type it into Google and find it. If I wanted to do research, I had to go get some volume of a commentary to look at. And now I just type it in. But it might take, 10 seconds instead of 2 seconds. And I find myself getting impatient because I don't want to wait. But there are times when God will keep us waiting. There are times when God will say, you'll get a prophetic word. Where's Joy? Where are you? I've lost you. There you are. You'll get a prophetic word like Joy. And God will say, I'm going to do this for you. And you're like, yes. God says, I'm going to bless your finances. I'm going to bless your family. He may say to some of you parents, your prodigal is going to come home. I want to ask, is there anybody here that can say, hey, I'm waiting for a prodigal to come home? Anybody, let me see those hands. Let me see them good. Let me see them high. Put your hand high. God, we pray for each one of these prodigals. Lord, and we believe your prophetic promises that not just us, but our whole household will be saved. But we get that word. We get that prophetic word. We get that God where God speaks to us, and then the waiting begins. I'll tell you, about 5 years ago, God began to talk to us about what he had in store for us. And he kept saying, it's not just for you, it's for your whole family. It's not just for you, it's for your whole family. And we came here, and our son was here, and our daughter came with us, and we got here, and our son left. And then we have our other daughter that's there. And I was like, wait a minute, God, you made this prophetic promise. Here we are, we came. And just 3 months ago, our son came back. And next month, our other daughter is going to come. It's the fulfillment of a prophetic promise that goes back 5 years. But in the waiting, we get impatient, we get confused, we get frustrated, we get disappointed. And I believe this morning that God wants to encourage us. He wants to encourage us about the promises he's made over us as individuals, but also over who he's made over us as a people in general. And so here are the disciples. They're in the upper room. They're waiting. They're waiting for this promise that Jesus has made. They've got to be kind of confused. It's got to be a little bit confusing. Because if finally their Messiah has come, then he's crucified. It's like, oh my God. But then he's resurrected. And then he goes. And now they're like, now what? And he says, just hold on. Just wait. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And it says they waited in the upper room, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now they're full of the Holy Spirit. But this morning I want to ask a question. And I have a theologian right up front and center. I've got Richard here. But I want to ask us, is it possible to be a believer in Christ, a follower in Christ, and not be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit? See, because I think what we can do is, because we are a robust, passionate, zealous people, we could look around the room and say, oh yes, we all must be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We all must be moving and operating in the Holy Spirit. We all must have experienced the power and the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We all must feel that, right? Is it possible that there are some of us in this room that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're followers of Christ, we're disciples of Christ, and yet we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that possible, Richard? Let me try to answer my own question. Acts chapter 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some, what? What does it say? What does it say? Say it with me. What does it say? Wait, say it louder. Disciples. He found some disciples. What's a disciple? Richard, what's a disciple?
A follower.
Of?
Jesus.
In this case, John.
Okay. Sorry I asked. He found some disciples and said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Believed what, John? Well, who did John preach? He preached the coming of Jesus. So what did they believe in? The coming of Jesus. So did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, what did they say? No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So my premise is, I think we can be believers in the coming of Jesus or believers in Jesus and maybe not have received the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not making the suggestion that that people in this room haven't heard of the Holy Spirit. I know you've all heard of the Holy Spirit. And I know that most of you or many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm wondering if there's some of us who have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Or if there are some of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit but have never walked into or stepped into or realized or fully realized what that actually means. See, I remember being about 15, 16 years old. And I remember like I had given my life to Jesus about when I was about 13, so I'd been a Christian for a few years. Man, and I went to church. And I honestly felt like when I accepted Jesus, I remember that my life was changed. That my salvation experience, as much as I didn't know, I knew something had changed in my life when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I remember sitting in the front row of a church in California called Calvary Chapel. And the preacher's name was Raul Ries. And it was about 1978, I think. I think that's right. And I remember sitting there. And the guy, and I was paying attention. And the guy was talking about Jesus. And then he gave an altar call. And I was sitting there with my sister's stepson, who was a little bit younger than me. And I remember him like, hey, go up there. He like kind of elbowed me and said, go up there. And I went up there. And I had no idea why I went up there. I still can't tell you this day. I didn't have one of those experiences where, you know, I was like I'm not the one of those persons that would say, if it wasn't for Jesus, I would be dead or in prison. That wasn't me. I was basically a good kid. But I answered that call. And even though I can't say that I knew exactly what I was doing, I knew my life had changed. And now a few years later, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm trying to learn about Jesus, and I realized, hey, something, you know, there's just something missing. There's got to be more than this. And I remember going and meeting with my youth pastor at the time, this guy named Paul Myers, and I went and sat in his office. And I said, Paul, there's got to be more than this. There's something missing. I know there's more. And right there in his office, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in tongues. And then I knew again, something was different. That I had received what Jesus was talking about. It wasn't like described in the upper room. There was no sound like a mighty rushing wind. But I knew my life had been changed. So you have these. So you have this second experience. For some people, it's one and the same. I'm saying that some people can get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It can be one and the same, or get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but one and the same. But Jesus said, in John chapter 14, verse 16, which I think is what Patrick read. Patrick didn't see my notes. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the difference between not being filled and being filled? And so Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you a helper. Someone who will come alongside you and help you walk out this Christian life, this following Jesus, this being my disciple, which no one ever said it was going to be easy. And if someone told you it was going to be easy, they didn't tell you the whole truth. How many of you know that being a follower of Jesus is not easy? I bet you there are some of you in this room right now that could say, my life today is not easy. And you might even say it would be easier if I wasn't trying to be a follower of Christ. And so Jesus said, hey, listen, I know this is going to be hard. Listen, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to go back to my Father, but I know this is going to be hard. I know there's going to be tests and trials. I know there's going to be persecution. I know that people are going to come against you. But what I'm going to do, what Jesus said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone that'll come along and help you so you can walk out what you're meant to walk out. So they were waiting for the promise. They received the promise. Pentecost was an event. It was a day. There was an actual event, a day in history. But it was actually just the beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Holy Spirit for these guys and for us. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us? And how does it change our life and experience with God? First of all, the Holy Spirit is power. I remember sitting in that office as a 15 or 16-year-old kid and thinking, man, all of a sudden I feel a power that I didn't have before. I feel a strength that I didn't have before. It wasn't in myself. It wasn't something that I mustered up. It was like someone had flipped a switch on for me. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with what? Power from on high. Matthew 3:11 says, I baptize you with water for repentance. This is John. But one who is coming who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's something about the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit where the power of God becomes accessible to us. It becomes available to us. All of a sudden, we have access to power that does not originate with us, but originates with God. Now, see, if I live, so I live in a house here in Sunningdale, and I imagine if you gave me a crank generator to run my house, I could probably get the lights going, like kind of dim. Like maybe get like some dim lights on, and I could do it for a little while, but eventually I'm going to run out of energy. I've got a certain amount of energy available in my body. You know, I mean, I know you guys are looking at me and thinking, he looks really strong, he's got nice big biceps and all that stuff, because he goes to the gym. I understand. I mean, the cheerleader had to be attracted to something, right? I mean, not just anyone lands a cheerleader. And I could probably generate some energy and enthusiasm and strength and power in and of myself. But when I hit that bioelectricity button and I punch in the token number on my panel, which has got to be the most frustrating number panel ever created by a human being, there are things that you look at in life and you think, why? Why is this the only place that they'll put the numbers in that order? So I have to concentrate on every... The other question I have is when you go to the Bloberg Hospital, right? Anybody ever been to the Bloberg Hospital? And you have to pay for parking? And you put your little ticket in the parking meter, and then you put your card in, and then you have to put your PIN number in, but you have to do this to do it. Who designed that, and why? Why isn't the number panel up here where I can see it? That's a tangent. But when I put that token number in for my electricity, all of a sudden, all the lights come on. The refrigerator is powered. The alarm is powered. There's a power that I can't generate on my own. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Hey, yeah, we can do certain things, and we can carry certain things on our own. But there's a power that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do things beyond what we're able to do on our own. Didn't Jesus say, when they were like impressed with his miracles, didn't he say, greater things than these will you do also? Now I read about Jesus raising people from the dead. I read about Jesus causing the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. There are things I can do in and of myself, but I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. The baptism of the Holy Spirit enables us to do things beyond what we're able to do. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches us in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. See, the Holy Spirit operates where my intellect runs out. He operates where my intelligence runs out, where my understanding runs out. He operates beyond that. If you want to see the miraculous happen in and around your life, it begins where you end and the Holy Spirit comes in. He teaches us all things. When we don't understand the ifs and the ands and the buts and the whys, the Holy Spirit will teach us. When it doesn't make sense to us, the Holy Spirit will teach us. Man, the world is full of things that don't make sense to me. But the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Eugene Peterson in The Message actually calls the Holy Spirit our friend. For those times when we feel like, hey, I can't do this on my own. I know that there are single moms in the room right now. And you think, man, I can't do this on my own. There are dads who are carrying a heavy burden, a heavy load. And you think, I can't do this on my own. There are young people, high school kids, high school students, who are facing things that would cause grown men to fail and quiver and shudder. And you're out there and you're facing temptation and judgment and all manner of things. And Jesus said, I'll send you a helper. I'll send you someone who's going to come alongside you and help you through the difficult times. When you feel like you're going to fail, when you feel like you're going to fall, when you feel like you can't make it, when you feel alone, the Holy Spirit is there to help you through. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit so that we could know that we're not alone. Back to Acts chapter 19. Skip down a bit from to I think about verse 3, and it says, "And he said, when they said, 'No, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit,' it says, 'And he said, what then? Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who has come after him, that is Jesus.' On hearing this, they were baptized. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesying." So this morning, I feel like God wants to do two things. I think God wants to make something available to two groups of people. So for some of you, you can't say that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I would argue if you don't know, then you probably haven't been. If you don't know, then maybe you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there's some of you this morning that need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not magical. It's not hocus pocus. It's not abracadabra. It's the fulfillment of Jesus' prophetic promise for each one of us. It's something that Jesus wants to do for you this morning. So that's one group of people that you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you're not sure and you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. And then there's a second group who you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you are not, you don't feel it. Now, who is it that said, "I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I got to get refilled all the time because I leak"? And there's some of us, we just leak. And you want a fresh, I don't want to call it a fresh infilling because the Holy Spirit's there. But let's call it a stirring up of what's already there. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you haven't been accessing it. See, I can have the electricity running to my house, but if I don't flip the switch, what's the point? I'm going to be in the dark. But I want to just encourage you this morning. Especially if you feel like, man, sometimes I just don't feel like I have the strength to go on. Don't leave this. This is why we're here. Man, I don't think I'm a very good preacher. I think I'm average at best. So this is what I just did isn't enough. This is where you come and get the rest. You come and get what I can't do.